Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Free Boring Podcast. My name's Clinton.
And I'm Ashley.
And we're excited to have you back this week. We're talking about some interesting things. We've had a busy portion of our life recently.
Yes.
As many of us are preparing for school, end of summer. It's been exciting but exhausting at the same time. But this week's episode is going to be really interesting. We're going to be talking about the internal and the external Isaac and Ishmaels in your life and what you can do about them and how you should handle them. So,
So if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is the third part of a four-part series on spiritual maturity. So I highly recommend if you listen to this to go back to the first two parts because they lead up to this.
Right.
The first part's all about how the devil neutralizes the power of the church by deceiving us into a perpetual state of immaturity or spiritual childishness.
Baby Christians,
which is actually just a form of spiritual slavery. But he convinces us that our spiritual slavery is actually righteousness before God. And that's how he keeps us there permanently. So we expose that tactic in part one. And then part two, we learn from 1 Peter 2 how we stay in spiritual bondage. So just as our physical bodies, when we're babies, need human milk to grow, 1 Peter 2 talks about how our spiritual bodies, as spiritual babies, need pure spiritual milk to grow. So we dive into why Peter used human milk as a
analogy, or
what's the word I'm looking for? Representation of what spiritual food does for the spirit man. Very good insights there. The difference between pure spiritual milk versus formula. Pure spiritual milk, it's the first principles of the spirit, but formula is man-made. It's an imitation. Pure spiritual milk is life-giving, while the formula is not life-giving. And my argument is that the church for decades, if not centuries, has been raised on formula. And therefore, we are feeble. We are ineffective. We are easily controlled. We are immature. And it's time to grow up. That's the whole point of this series, is it's time to grow up. But first, we need to realize how and why we have been so stuck in spiritual immaturity. So today, I want to talk about two brothers in the Bible, because once you start feeding on pure spiritual milk, you will start to grow quickly. Spiritual growth is, in my opinion, in my experience, exponential. I've actually done more spiritual growth in the last 3 years than I did in the previous, 38, 37 years that I was in church. Not to discredit those years at all, because there was a foundation laid. But the growth I've experienced being tapped into the spirit realm, the way we've been talking about in all the episodes, has just been exponential. It's been life-giving. It's been fascinating. It's been an adventure.
I've heard back from quite a few people that have said the same. They're just eye-opening thoughts and things that have all just, some people even said it's an answer to prayer, just some of the thoughts we've shared, and it's just almost guided through a process of setting their mind and their spirit free, which is just humbling.
Very cool.
But really, really cool. So
as you are growing spiritually and you're getting ready to really branch out and walk on your own two feet, because that's the point. You don't stay on spiritual milk forever. You quickly transition to spiritual solids, to spiritual meat. And when that starts to happen, you really start to kind of become more obvious to those around you. And that's when intimidation of a certain sort starts. And that's to keep you held back, to keep you from really wanting to branch into who you are created to be. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Two brothers, they have the same father, Abraham. One brother was a slave and one brother was free. Well, how's that possible? Same father, two brothers, one's a slave and one's free. Well, that's because the slave brother, his mother was a slave. And the free brother, his mother, was free. And so what does this tell us? It tells us that the relationship of the mother to the father determines the kind of children she produces. Hmm. Slave mothers produce slave children. Free mothers produce free children.
Hmm.
So same father, but the relationship of the mother to the father determines the kind of children she has.
I mean, jumping in deep here, just made me think of just, you know, spiritually free versus not free, and why we, you'll see congregations, whole congregations that are not spiritually free. It's very rarely do you see just someone find themselves into bondage with Christ, you know, through their spiritual walk. They've usually been led there. And that's why you'll see whole congregations that are sort of in this flow of bondage and slavery rather than, and then you'll see whole churches of freedom and they sort of flow and move together. Yeah.
When we say spiritual slavery, we were just talking about that formulaic, ritualistic, rules-based, performance-based relationship with God versus the life-giving, spirit-led relationship with God that's untethered. I keep saying that. Untethered from the earthly realm, the demands of the earthly realm. It is a spirit-led relationship. It's vital. It's dynamic. It's alive. That's what we mean when we talk about spiritual slavery, bondage versus the freedom. And in case you haven't already figured out, we're talking about Ishmael and Isaac. Did we already mention that?
Yeah, we mentioned it briefly.
Okay, so you know that their father was Abraham, and Abraham was married to Sarah, and God gave Abraham and Sarah the promise that they would father nations. The only catch was that Sarah was barren. So the promise was impossible on a human level. I'm sure when they first got the promise that they expected, you know, God to overcome the physical inability pretty quickly in their lives, but they turned out they waited 25 years. Well, 10 years into waiting, Sarah decides to take things in her own hands, and it's her idea for Abraham to take Hagar and produce a child together to fulfill this promise that God gave. And so Hagar does. She gets pregnant, gives birth to Ishmael. Sarah turns around and blames Abraham for this debacle.
Typical. Typical woman logic. Let's nail down into that topic real quick. That's our real topic for today.
No.
It's female logic. None of it makes sense. And if you feel that way, you can call our 1-800 line at Set Free. 1-800 Set Free. That actually works out. Set Free. Call it. Be set free from female logic.
Oh, that's not the point. But yes, so Sarah immediately is like, what have we done? And wants to throw Hagar and the baby out. We're not going to go into that part of the story, but the point I want to draw from that is that Ishmael represents human plotting, human intervention, human effort.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Intervention.
Yeah. God gave us this promise. We're going to make it happen.
Here, let me take the reins, God. I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they created an Ishmael. Well, then 13 years go by and God appears to Abraham again, reiterates the promise. This means Ishmael is now a teenager. And a year after that, Sarah miraculously gives birth to a baby. And I believe she's 99 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So truly miraculous. They waited 25 years for this promise. But the nature of the relationship between Abraham and Sarah, committed, loving, intimate, they were both involved in the promise, they were one, and they did what they could do, and God did the rest. Isaac represents faith. Isaac represents God's promise. Okay, So we're going to talk about the relationship between Ishmael and Isaac today, because as we are going to see in scripture, it's not a good relationship.
Right.
So let's see. So we're going to go to Genesis 21. So God visited Sarah exactly as he said he would. God did to Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and gave Abraham a son in his old age, and at the very time God had set. Abraham, that's a great point.
Yeah.
There was an appointed time for this promise to come to pass.
Right. The very time God
had set. Yes.
Right.
Abraham named him Isaac. When his son was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him just as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Sarah said, God has blessed me with laughter. Isaac means laughter. And all who get the news will laugh with me. She also said, whoever would have suggested to Abraham that Sarah would one day nurse a baby. Yet here I am. I've given the old man a son. The baby grew and was weaned. Abraham threw a big party on the day Isaac was weaned. One day, Sarah saw the son that Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham poking fun at her son Isaac. She told Abraham, get rid of the slave woman and her son. No child of this slave is going to share inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter gave great pain to Abraham. After all, Ishmael was his son. But God spoke to Abraham, don't feel badly about the boy and your maid. Do whatever Sarah tells you. Your descendants will come through Isaac. Regarding your maid son, be assured that I'll also develop a great nation from him. He's your son too. That's amazing to me. We're going to talk about that at the end.
Yeah.
Abraham got up early the next morning, got some food together and a canteen of water for Hagar, put them on her back, and sent her away with the child. So in verse 9, Sarah, the legal wife of Abraham, observes Ishmael, who at that point was about 15 or 16, picking on her 2 or 3 year old son, Isaac. And we all know mama bears. Like, yeah. I just get the impression Sarah was feisty anyway. But even the most passive or maybe the calmest or the gentlest mother, when they see their kid being picked on, is going to reveal the mother bear inside. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened here. The Hebrew word for picking on her son basically means mocking or making a toy of. In other words, Ishmael was bullying Isaac.
Yeah.
Ishmael wasn't stupid. I think for the first 15 years of his life, when Isaac was born, he saw how Isaac was treated differently. He felt, you know, I'm the firstborn of Abraham. Maybe he felt he was going to get what Abraham, the inheritance of Abraham. I'm certain he was jealous of the favor Isaac got. You know, Isaac was a miracle child of promise, child of faith. Likely got treatment and privileges that Ishmael never got. So that's probably the root of the bullying that right. happened to Isaac at that time. But like I said, I just want to reiterate that the Ishmaels represent in this story, we're going to spiritualize it. So even though in the physical, Ishmaels and Isaac still today are at odds, right? We know that Islam is descended from Ishmael,
right?
Which is indirect. What's the word?
Conflict.
There you go. Which is in direct conflict with Jews today and Christianity today, right? So in the physical world, there is still an issue between Ishmael and Isaac.
Yeah.
But let's talk about in the spirit realm, because the slave mindset of the religious will always harass, will always bully and persecute in some way. It could be passive aggressively. It could be very aggressively. It could even be in the spirit realm. It might be unseen. It might be when we are away from each other. Like, it could be behind closed doors through gossip and slander. But in some way, the slave mindset of the religious, the spiritual Ishmaels, will always persecute and bully those walking in the promise and prize of freedom, the life of faith. It is the nature of the relationship between the two. So those of you that have had a revelation of your freedom in Christ, I think most of my audience, I think everyone starts out as Ishmaels. I mean, it's the pattern in scripture, potentially. I mean, but I think the majority of my audience are those who have grown up Ishmaels, but are transitioning to becoming Isaacs, right? Maybe that transition happened a while ago. Maybe you're in the middle of it. Maybe you're curious and listening to this in secret. But as you begin to grow spiritually and feed on the spiritual milk and start to stretch your spiritual muscles, you're going to start noticing something weird happening. These formerly very comfortable relationships, very conflict-free relationships, all of a sudden start to have a tension about them because you are changing, first of all, in the unseen realm. That's where the real drama is happening. That's where the real battle is happening. So something's happening there. There's a clash.
Right.
And you're going to start feeling that in the physical. And you might understand what's going on. Maybe not everyone else is going to understand what's going on. Yeah. But the interactions start to get different, or the response to you starts to change, or you're just going to start noticing something different with the people.
You're doing something different. And, you know, you said it earlier versus milk, and then you're going to start eating meat, and your diet changes. As you begin to mature, your diet changes. And if you're sat at a table that everyone is just getting the same thing, chicken fingers and chicken fingers and chicken fingers and chicken fingers, and finally one day you come to the table and everybody's ordered chicken fingers, and you'll say, I think I'll take a New York strip. Everyone's going to go, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know? Why? What, you know, and
what's wrong with you?
Yeah. What's wrong with you? You know, we all know the chicken finger person in our life. They can call our waiting 100 set free hotline as well. But anyway, but I think that's just really what naturally happens. Yeah. It's just the duck, duck, goose mentality. It's the black sheep mentality. It's all for the better. You're improving yourself. And so you step out.
You're spiritually becoming alive.
Right.
And it can't help but show. It can't help but flow from you.
Yeah.
And
something's different about
Something's different, and there's going to be conflict and tension, whether or not, you know, you understand it or it's happening in the spirit realm first and foremost, because this is a spiritual thing.
Right.
Okay. And the nature of the relationship between Ishmael's human effort and Isaac's faith in God is conflict. And the Ishmael will always bully and persecute the Isaac. So this is a tale as old as time. So what I'm going to do in this episode is dive into where in scripture Paul directly addresses this with the Colossians and the Philippians and the Galatians. And I just think your jaw is going to drop, because he does not mince his words about this. And
yeah, I just think it's funny. Colossians and Philippians, you bring it up, Paul writing letters. I saw a meme the other day that said, if Paul was still alive, the church would currently be getting a letter.
Church in America would be getting a letter. That's true. So let's look at Colossians 2, starting at verse 3. It says, "For our spiritual wealth is in him, Christ, like hidden treasure waiting to be discovered. Heaven's wisdom and endless riches of revelation knowledge. I want you to know this so that no one will come and lead you into error through their persuasive arguments and clever words. Mm-hmm. In the same way you received Jesus, our Lord and Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith." Okay, you receive the Lord by faith, continue your journey of faith. Isaacs represent faith, okay? "Progressing further into your union with him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength." Okay, that to me sounds like spiritual food. It's infusing you with strength as you're rooted in his life, his spirit life.
Right.
"Encouraged in every way, for you are established in the faith." There's that word. "For you are established in the faith you have and are enriched by your devotion to him." That just sounds like spiritual food, spiritual milk.
Right.
Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness mm-hmm. by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic, for they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. I'm reading in the Passion Translation. I just love it right now. Remember, when you are born from above, when you are born again in the spirit, you belong to the heavenly spirit realm now. You don't belong to the earthly realm.
Right.
And the way the earthly realm operates is legalistically. You earn everything. Everything's based on your performance. That's how the world works. That is not how the kingdom of heaven works. But we have imposed the world system on the church, and that's why it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is warning us to not hang on to this mindset of the world system, because that's not what we have received from Christ.
Right.
So spiritual Ishmaels distract and intimidate you away from Christ's fullness. And that Greek word there for distract or intimidate is actually takes you captive, enslaves you. So there's that slave relationship again. How can you spot these spiritual Ishmaels? They're full of endless arguments of human logic, pretending to be full of wisdom, right? This humanistic approach to God, it makes human sense to serve him in this way, to approach our religion within this way, right? It's not Christ-centered at all. It's centered on human effort. It's centered on what I bring to the table, how my efforts have made me holy, how I have kept myself unstained from the world, and it takes your focus off of what Christ did. Okay? Verse 9, for he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in him, right? So we are insufficient in ourselves, but it's our faith that plugs us into his completeness and allows it to flow through us, right? We bring nothing to the table. He did it all.
Right.
So we plug into his fullness, and that's what flows to us. That's how we can be the righteousness of God in Christ, okay? So our completeness is found in him and not in ourselves. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. Okay, in the Old Testament, there was physical circumcision as a shadow of what would eventually happen in our hearts through Christ. That physical requirement was fulfilled in Christ. It's no longer necessary now. Through faith in Christ, your heart becomes circumcised. That's the whole point of the physical symbolism of what they did with circumcision in the Old Testament. That physical act was no longer required. Okay. Now what he's looking for, and he even mentions this in the Old Testament, the circumcision of the heart of flesh, that's not stony, that's sensitive to his spirit. That's what he was after. All the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. So spiritual Ishmaels do not believe this, okay? They are actually unbelievers. I'm starting to think when the Bible mentions unbelievers, it includes people in the church who don't believe in the sufficiency of what Jesus did.
Right.
They're putting their faith in, they believe that putting their faith in what Christ thoroughly accomplished on the cross is too easy. That's just too easy. The cross was supposed to make
You say it that way, but they won't even say it that way. They put a lot of weight on the cross, but I think they just put all these checkpoints in the race. You know, you have to hit this point, you have to hit this point, then you have this point before you can get to the finish line. I would say a lot of people that are Ishmaels, they are believers, and they even say, you know, if it wasn't for Calvary, if it wasn't for him dying on the cross, the blood he shed, the power in the blood. You know, they do, they talk about it all, but then they pretty much say, but before you can fully achieve and appreciate what he did for you, you have to do this, right? So I can't say that they don't appreciate it, because I think they do. I just think that they end up spoiling it, you know.
That's probably better put than what I said. There is a level of unbelief, though. I actually think that we become more believers the more, so much rests on belief, right? Mm. That's what faith is.
Right.
The more you evolve into a believer, the more, I think, power flows through you. I just remember when the Lord was dealing with me and I was just hanging on to this formula. I was hanging on to the rules so much. I just couldn't let it go because I was taught this is how it works. And finally he said, you are spitting on the cross because you think you're bringing something to the table. You think this is adding to what I already completely accomplished. Your righteousness is filthy rags.
Right. You think I'm attached to this standards, this holiness standards that...
The fact that we call them in our former denomination holiness standards means that this is how we're holy. And that's just not true. So that's the deception. I think that's where my generation, at least, has really lost the message of the cross, because we have come to this thinking that some of this rests on our shoulders. Mm. And actually, this lifestyle of rules in order to stay righteous, in order to stay in right standing with God, in order to stay holy, is actually spitting on what Jesus did so thoroughly.
Right,
man. And so...
It's so true. That's why a prostitute or a drug addict or some murderer cares if it happened the day before or an hour before, can come to the cross and ask for forgiveness, and it can be immediate. And there is none greater than the man that's in that moment that is free from sin, you know?
So I would say that spiritual Ishmaels struggle to accept, or just cannot accept, that simply having faith in what Christ did was enough. Mm. And that's why 1 Corinthians 1:18 says that the cross is folly to those who are perishing. It's the preaching of the cross is folly. It makes zero sense to them. But to those of us who are being saved, the cross is the power of God. Mm. The cross is the utter wisdom of God. For it is written, this is 1 Corinthians 1:18, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where's the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Mm. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Save those who believe. For Jews demand a sign and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the world standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in God's presence. So spiritual Ishmaels boast in their own efforts, not realizing their righteousness is filthy rags. Right? They boast in what they bring to the table. This is what I've done. Paul's going to talk about this here in a minute, how he was the best of the best, and he took great pride in how scrupulous he was, right? How much he knew and how closely he followed all the rules.
Super educated human being,
right? He boasted in this, and yet it was filthy rags, because our own righteousness is filthy rags.
And everyone loved him for it.
Yeah.
He's so respected.
Very respected.
Yeah.
Very the Pharisees, they weren't hated in the first century. They were very revered, very respected, and they were like, "Oh, they are definitely going to heaven."
Yeah.
You know, and then Jesus comes along and he's like, "You are dead man's bones inside." You know, yeah. And what? So verse 30, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. He became our righteousness. He became our sanctification. Right. He became our redemption. Mm-hmm. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So spiritual Ishmaels, again, they boast in themselves. They might talk a good game. I'm not saying they don't even believe what they're saying out of their mouths, but Jesus said, you know them by their fruits. Look at their life. Right. Don't watch what they're saying. Look right. how they live. And mm-hmm. then look at how they're telling other people to live.
Mm-hmm.
That comes back to who's mothering you, who's raising you up in the spiritual things. Mm-hmm. Because remember, slave mothers produce slave children. Who's speaking into your life? What are they telling you you need to do? Right?
Yeah.
Free mothers produce free children. So they can say mm-hmm. all they want, but how are they living? What's the fruit they're producing?
Yeah.
How are they treating others? And if you are being mentored by them, how are they telling you to live? Just pay attention to that. Just pay attention to it. Doesn't mean they're bad. I do believe it's a deception. It's just, I was deceived. My eyes are open now. So yeah. I can speak to this. And I love these people because I was one of them. Paul was one of them. He loved these people. He just wished, man, I wish they would see. He said, they have zeal, but not according to knowledge, right? They didn't upgrade to the new reality that Jesus brought. And that's what I want us to do as well. So back to Colossians 2:12, we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Spiritual Ishmaels do not actually believe they are forgiven. They don't.
Yeah.
I woke up guilty every day. I paid for my own sins weekly. I would punish myself for messing up because I did not believe I was forgiven.
Yeah, I think it comes with personality type too. I can't honestly say that I woke up every day punishing myself or,
that's good,
you know, trying to earn that. I think then you can go into like the whole firstborn versus lastborn. Mm-hmm. How tense are you? How much of a perfectionist are you? And I think a lot of people that are perfectionist, firstborn style mentalities suffer in this legalistic upbringing worse than someone that's more just chill and relax and go with the flow, you know?
Yes, I think that's a good point. I think someone like me is going to try their best to stick it out and achieve.
Yeah.
And then you've got the other people who are like, oh, that's impossible. I'm not even going to try. And they go off on the deep end. They go hog wild, right? I think there are different responses to this, not believing that your sins are actually forgiven. Right. Spiritual Ishmaels do not believe that sin is a defeated enemy.
You have to do something.
Everything is sinful. Yeah. Everything could contaminate you. Everything could defile you. You have to be careful. You know, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of like, you know, just it's honestly, it can be hard to have fun with. I mean, I think I was a lot like this in some ways, just very uptight, like, oh, this might just throw me off course and I'm going to have to find my way back. You know, that's how I struggled. Maybe not you. I think it's great to hear your side of
things. Yeah, but I think you end up into you lack that spiritual truth that we've talked about before. You don't have a depth of God relationship with someone like with my mentality. You just sort of go with the flow and then you just, it's like a slow, gradual, just you allow things into your life that you shouldn't be there. You do things to appease people. And then you end up feeling, alone and you end up feeling just sort of unwanted. Mm-hmm. Because if you find yourself struggling to just hit all those markers and or fit in, you feel alone. And then you just sort of like, I'm going to go find the people that will accept me. Mm-hmm. And then you associate God with those people that didn't accept you. And at the end of the day, they're the furthest thing from God. And so you associate God, mm-hmm. and you end up not liking God.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So I personally carried around a lot of guilt all the time. I think I was too serious about some things. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty uptight. I don't know if people that knew me thought that about me, because I also enjoyed, like, I liked having fun.
Yeah. But you're, man, playful,
I had a tormented conscience, yeah, constantly.
Yeah.
Right. Because I didn't believe that sin was a defeated enemy in my life. I had to keep sin away, not realizing the blood of Jesus is my spiritual hazmat suit. I cannot be made unclean anymore.
Right.
Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. There is a process also of sanctification. Like, mm-hmm. we have to be transformed by renewing our minds. We have to let go of things like offense and pride, mm-hmm. and sloth. You know, those are things that we do need to still work on. But spiritually speaking, we have been raised in the power of God. And so we are free from sin spiritually. Yeah. We are connected from God and not disconnected anymore. So yeah, spiritual Ishmaels do not actually believe they are forgiven. They do not believe that sin is a defeated enemy. And you are always guilty around them. They're always guilty to themselves, and you're always guilty around them. Verse 14, he canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the oldest arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all. Our sin, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and it cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross, mm-hmm. and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. So spiritual Ishmaels may accuse us, but even the powers and principalities of darkness cannot legitimately accuse us of sin any longer.
Right.
Spiritual Isaacs know that they are not accused anymore, and they laugh in the face of accusation, because they have utter faith in what Jesus did. And the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. And spiritual Isaacs know this too. These powers don't hold us prisoner. Mm-hmm. Our past doesn't hold us prisoner. Mm-hmm. Nothing holds us prisoner, because we are made free. And these things submit to us because we have Christ in us, and we know how to exert his authority in our lives. So Paul says, why would you allow anyone to judge you because of what you eat or drink, or insist that you keep the feasts and observe new moon celebrations or the Sabbath? So these were all requirements of the Mosaic law, which had been fulfilled and weren't necessary anymore. So you can modernize that verse with any of the rules that Ishmaels impose on us.
Right?
Why do you let them judge you because of these things? All of these things were but a prophetic shadow and the evidence of what would be fulfilled, for the body is now Christ. Don't let anyone disqualify you. The Greek word there, defraud, means steal from you. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone steal from you your prize of salvation and freedom. Don't let their pretended sincerity, and some translations use asceticism, which is strict self-denial as a measure of personal or spiritual discipline. Don't let their pretended sincerity fool you, for they take pleasure in pretending to be experts of something they know nothing about. Their reasoning is meaningless and comes only from their own opinions. This is Paul. These are heavy words.
Yeah.
Spiritual Ishmaels pretend to be experts about spiritual things, but they're so tethered to the physical realm, they don't really know what they're talking about.
Man, oh, this is, Yeah, I'm thinking of some people, you know, and it makes me just sort of cringe a little.
They refuse to take hold of the true source. Again, this harks back to spiritual food. Ishmaels refuse to eat spiritual food. They find themselves as the true source of righteousness, not Jesus Christ. They might think they do, but if they are so relying on their performance to stay in right standing with God,
right,
their true source is themselves. You know, their true source is the formula.
Yeah.
So they refuse to take hold of the true source, but we receive directly from him, and his life supplies vitally into every part of his body through the joining ligaments connecting us all as one body. See, that just sounds like the spiritual food again, just infusing us.
Right.
Right. Again, he is the divine head who guides his body and causes it to grow by the supernatural power of God. For you are included in the death of Christ, and you have died with him to the religious system and powers of this world. Don't retreat back to being bullied by the standards and opinions of religion. Spiritual Ishmaels are bullies. Spiritual Ishmaels are bullies. They bully those who live by faith. For example, their strict requirements. You can't associate with that person. Don't eat that. You can't touch that.
This is in the Bible, which is just, you know, I have some very strict legalistic family members that are distant family members, not immediate, but I think of these people that are not subject to anyone, and even God, I would say at this point, but they isolate their members. You can't associate with them. You can't do this. And they rule with this iron fist, and it is mind-blowing. And they're bullies. When they get to that point, I view a lot of the ministers within their movement, they actually are like bully. If you meet these men, you're like, wow, you're not very nice. You're a jerk. You're actually a bully. And that's what the Bible is literally saying this.
This is the Bible.
Yeah, they're saying this isn't us. This is Paul. He's writing about bullies.
Yeah.
So, spiritual bullies.
These are the doctrines of men and corrupt customs that are worthless to help you spiritually. For though they may appear to possess the promise of wisdom in their submission to God through the deprivation of their physical bodies, it is actually nothing more than empty rules rooted in religious rituals. Let's go to Philippians 3 for a little bit more.
And moving on.
Beware of those religious hypocrites. So spiritual Ishmaels are hypocrites who teach that you should be circumcised to please God. So how are they hypocrites? Well, they're pretending. They are righteous outwardly, but because they refuse what Jesus did on the cross, they are rejecting actual righteousness and right standing with God. They're lifting up their own righteousness, but all their heavenly Father sees is filthy rags. So they might look the part, but inside, that's not what the Heavenly Father sees.
That's sad.
That's how they're hypocrites.
That's tough.
For we have already experienced heart circumcision, and we worship God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, not in laws and religious duties. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done and not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. That's what Abraham and Hagar did.
Right.
In their own strength, they accomplished a child. Yeah, Ishmael. But God said, my covenant, your inheritance is going to flow through Isaac, faith. Okay. It's true that I once relied on all that I had become. I had reason to boast and impress people with my accomplishments more than others, for my pedigree was impeccable. I was born a true Hebrew of the heritage of Israel as the son of a Jewish man from the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, that's top tier.
Right.
I was circumcised 8 days after my birth and was raised in the strict tradition of Orthodox Judaism, living a separated and devout life as a Pharisee. And concerning the righteousness of the Torah, no one surpassed me. I was without a peer. Furthermore, as a fiery defender of the truth, I persecuted the Messianic believers with religious zeal. An Ishmael of Ishmaels, you could say.
Exactly.
Yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I have now forsaken them, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. Mm-hmm. To truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. It's like a pile of manure to me now.
Mm.
So that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. My passion is to be consumed with him and not to cling to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My only righteousness will be his, based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. So this is how Ishmael's behave. This is how they treat Isaac's. Now, Paul mentions Ishmael and Isaac in Galatians 4. If you go back to part one of this series, we started with Galatians 4. Galatians 4:1 said, as long as the heir is a minor, he's no different to a slave.
Right.
So that's where we got that. We exposed that tactic of the enemy to keep us children so that we wouldn't realize that, oh, we are actually full-blown adults now. We can inherit because the slave and the child are no different. So go back to that episode. But later in chapter 4, this is what Paul says. Tell me now, you who have become so enamored with the law, have you paid close attention to that law? Abraham, remember, had two sons, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. The son of the slave woman was born by human plotting. The son of the free woman was born by God's promise. This illustrates the very thing we're dealing with now. This is in the first century church. He's dealing with this.
Right.
The two births represent two ways of being in relationship with God. One is from Mount Sinai in Arabia, which is in a desert, by the way. It corresponds with what is now going on in Jerusalem, a slave life producing slaves as offspring. This is the way of Hagar. In contrast to that, there is an invisible Jerusalem, a free Jerusalem, and she is our mother. This is the way of Sarah. Remember what Isaiah wrote. Rejoice, barren woman who bears no children. Shout and cry out, woman who has no birth pangs, because the children of the barren woman now surpass the children of the chosen woman. Isn't it clear, friends, that you, like Isaac, are children of promise? In the days of Hagar and Sarah, the child who came from faithless plotting, Ishmael, harassed the child who came, empowered by the Spirit, from the faithful promise, Isaac. Isn't it clear that the harassment you are now experiencing from the Jerusalem heretics follows that old pattern? There is a scripture that tells us what to do. Expel the slave mother with her son, for the slave son will not inherit with the free son. Isn't that conclusive? We are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman.
Wow.
So in Galatians,
he says it right there.
Yeah. In Galatians 4, he's saying what you're experiencing in the first century church, this bullying by the Jerusalem heretics, follows the old pattern of Ishmael and Isaac. And that pattern continues today.
Yeah.
That bullying continues today. Ishmael always bullies Isaac. And it happens particularly when Isaac is ready to be weaned, because that's a milestone in the family. That's when they actually celebrate the weaning of the child, because now they're ready to contribute to family life and to community life. They're ready. They're exerting their independence in the next level of maturity. And spiritually, when you are at that stage of being weaned off of spiritual milk and you're ready to dive into solids, that's when Ishmael pounces. When you're ready to actually contribute to the family of God, to the community of God, and stretch those spiritual muscles that are so strong and so full of life, that's when Ishmael pounces and bullies and persecutes and underestimates and judges, all of that.
Right. And let's dig into it. I mean, everybody experiences that.
Everyone.
If you step into a new light with God and you've discovered something new and you're excited about it, you've had a new revelation, you're trying to implement some level of spirituality in your life that's new, you're going to have brothers, sisters, moms, dads, cousins, friends, all look at you, whoever they are in your life, and you know when this has happened to you, and they're going to question you. They're going to say, I'm just a little concerned about that. I'm a little, that bothers me a little bit. I'm worried about that. It's like,
they would rather you remain in your dysfunction.
Right.
Than become.
No growth. No yeah. growth.
And it might be unbelievers, but it's hardest when it's fellow believers. Ishmael and Isaac were brothers. So it's your brothers and sisters in Christ that are, you know, that do this. So we're told what to do in this verse. When we see spiritual Ishmaels bullying spiritual Isaacs like Sarah, we don't stand for it anymore. We cast it out. I believe that's what we've done in our family. Mm. We have made some serious changes in our family.
Jesus help us.
We've changed our faith community to align more with the freedom and faith of Isaac. And Amen. We've even started this podcast to hopefully open people's eyes and help them see. But the first place I want you to stand up to Ishmael in your life is the Ishmael inside of you.
Amen.
We all have an internal Ishmael and Isaac at war inside of us. And yeah. you cannot defeat the Ishmaels around you until you silence that voice inside of you.
It is such a battle. The self-doubt, the self-worry, just like
discrediting ourselves and yeah. putting Anxiety. Pressure on ourselves and yeah. all of the above. Mm-hmm. I'm sure as I was going through this podcast, you were all thinking of someone else. But the first thing I want you to do and go to the Lord about is the internal Ishmael inside of you right now, bullying you. And telling you, you're not enough.
Yeah.
Mm. You're not doing enough. You're wow. not good enough. You're a disappointment. You should be ashamed of yourself. Oh, you messed up. You need to be guilty and pay for that. Like, silence that voice.
Yeah.
And it's probably a voice that you learned, right? That inner child from the spiritual mother. I don't know. I don't know where you learned that voice, but we all have it. You know how Jesus said that you can't remove the speck in someone else's eye until you remove the boulder out of your own eye? Deal with the boulder first.
Right.
This is going to be a process of inner healing. It's going to be a process of taking your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, right? When you take your thoughts captive, they're not holding you captive anymore. Mm. Go back to episode 2 when we talk about becoming one with the truth. When you become one with the truth, the lies have to go away, and be patient with yourself in the process. Ishmael's going to tell you you're taking too long.
Yeah.
Just tell him to shut up and be patient with the process. Let Isaac learn Amen. How to walk and let Isaac grow. Expel Ishmael from your life, from your thought pattern, from your heart. You might have to do some healing. Mm. I had to do some deep healing. I had to walk with people. People walked along with me. And just helped me. And I might do an episode on some of that because right. I just think there's a lot of you. You walked away from the rules and the standards years ago. You look free on the outside and you are still bound on the inside. How do you right. know you're still bound? Because you're intimidated by all the Ishmael still.
We just experienced it recently. We were at a church event at the new church we're going to, where we have experienced massive freedom. My spiritual growth is amazing. I really feel like a weight has been removed from me attending this new church. We still happen to run into someone that came from our movement, and we didn't know this. We were at a picnic, actually, in the middle of the week, little potluck, and some names were mentioned. And that person, you should have seen almost a ghost-like face come upon them. They are fearful of some of the people we knew from our movement that they are associated with and family with. That's bondage. That is exactly what we're talking about. That is an Ishmael in that person's life.
Ishmael is still bullying that person.
Them mentally, spiritually, and God is going to set that person free from that. 100%. I believe that. And
that's why we're here.
That's why we're here, honestly. So
this person listens to the podcast.
I know.
You want her to hear
yeah,
this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
God is going to set that person free.
Absolutely.
I believe God will set you free. And if God put us in your life to help you through that process, so be it. We'll be here for you and we'll help you through it. And if That's anyone what, else listening
yeah.
feels like you need help, Ashley had help. I had help. But wait on the Lord. I waited on the Lord. I waited for wisdom. And Ashley was like, let's leave. Let's go. Let's do it. And I'm going, well, just give me a second. Just give me a second. Yeah. I need to feel at peace about this. I need God's peace. I wasn't being fearful of just worry. I did have those at time, but don't get caught in this, you know, waiting stage because you're just scared. Anyway, yeah. Just some little advice.
Yeah. So I want to read an excerpt from my book that I'm writing about this. It's called The Elephant in the Room. It says, the Bible tells us that Sarah, who was so infuriated by the way Ishmael treated Isaac, that she demanded Abraham expel Hagar and Ishmael from their home. This brought great pain to Abraham, who of course loved his older son, but God reassured him, don't feel badly about the boy and your maid. Do whatever Sarah tells you. Your descendants will come through Isaac. Regarding your maid's son, be assured that I'll also develop a great nation from him. He is your son too. The Bible tells us that God was on the boy's side as he grew up. He lived out in the desert and became a skilled archer. So I write, this is such a beautiful picture of God's love and goodness toward all his children, no matter the nature of their relationship with him.
Right.
We can choose the way of Ishmael, the way of human effort, or we can choose the way of Isaac, the way of faith. This dichotomy has always existed in the church. I believe it's the crux of the whole thing. And while God blesses both sons, his covenant is with Isaac, the miraculous child of promise and faith. And I'm going to do an episode, I think, soon on covenant, because that's what we're forfeiting when we go the way of Ishmael, and it's not worth it.
Yeah.
We are not meant to live in the desert the way Ishmael did. Scripture is clear. We're supposed to pass through the wilderness. But when we choose the way of human effort, we also choose the wilderness. The wilderness is a rough and rocky place. There's not much water. It takes a lot of effort to survive. There are wild animals that kill. Hope, provision, and sustenance often end up as mirages. Sun poison and dehydration are common threats. Fear and suspicion of other wilderness wanderers are a constant, and we are ever at the ready to shoot arrows in self-defense. Remember, Ishmael was an archer.
Right.
Isolation becomes the way we cope. Strong's defines the Hebrew word for wilderness as an uninhabited place where cattle are driven. This inspires an image of being prodded along from behind by harsh commands, maybe whips. Does all this not sound like life under the unrelenting, merciless, unforgiving law? We are meant for green pastures and still waters, where we do not experience want, where goodness and mercy walk closely behind us as our good shepherd goes before us, his gentle voice leading, guiding, comforting, restoring. We are sheep, not cattle. We have a shepherd, not a cattle driver. With our rules and regulations, I wonder if we're following after Ishmael, even if we say we stand with Isaac. Or perhaps in our minds we apprehend the way of Isaac, but our hearts are still bound in the way of Ishmael. Perhaps previous generations understood the dichotomy better and knew where to place their faith. In fact, I know they did. But my generation does not have this understanding. It has been lost as more and more of our spiritual families have set up camp in the wilderness and made themselves reasonably comfortable there. We have grown used to working hard for what has already been freely provided. We have grown used to living without the full benefit of our inheritance. In fact, we're not even clear what our inheritance is anymore. And because God blesses us and has been good to us, we feel validated in our parched existence. We think it's because of our resilience and effort to survive in the wilderness that God blesses us. We have begun to think that our periodic oasis experiences are normal. Lack and scarcity are to be expected. And we have learned to ration out the water supply until we encounter the next oasis. But this is not God's intention for us. I want my generation to realize there is another way, the way of Isaac, the way of covenant, and it's open and available to us.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful, man. I mean, I have so many thoughts in regards to just, I say a phrase all the time, like, oh, God honors your diligence. And like, yeah, God does honor your diligence. You're right. But imagine if you just trusted in God and you just didn't feel like you tried to solve the problems.
That's why Jesus is our rest.
Yeah.
We rest in him. We're in relationship. We abide, we rest, we have faith, we trust. Mm-hmm. He empowers us to do our part, and then he does the miraculous rest.
Right.
And the church is really stressed out, burned out, working really hard, producing a lot of Ishmaels, and the miraculous increase, the covenant provision, the covenant favor, it's not there. So I want to leave one last thought with you about this. Ishmael came first, and he was around for about 15, 16 years before Isaac was born. I think religious formalism had been around a long time. And then 1906, was it? Azusa Street happened. And I think spiritual Isaac was born in the world with Azusa Street. I think that's when the miraculous spirit was born.
Amen.
In 2 years, what happened at Azusa Street spread to 30 or 50 countries. In 2 years, I heard my teacher Dano say just recently that Times Magazine said Azusa Street was one of the most significant moments of the 20th century.
Wow.
Okay. So I think we had Ishmael, and then Isaac was born with Azusa Street. And there has been conflict between religious formalism and the charismatic, spirit-filled movement ever since Azusa Street happened. And we are at a point in the corporate or the worldwide family of God where it is time for the spiritual mothers to stand up and expel the slave woman and her son.
Yeah, get rid of the bully.
Get rid of the bully. It's time. It is time to expel the bully. But don't worry about the Ishmaels, because God loves them, and God's going to deal with them.
They aren't the enemy. They're
not the enemy. Yeah. They're not the enemy. That's right. I believe we're about to see a division in the body of Christ between the Ishmaels, those who are just hanging on real tight to that religious formalism, and the spiritual Isaacs. There's about to be a division. And God's abundant covenant favor and abundance and provision is going to flow so significantly on the Isaacs, while the Ishmaels are going to experience a desert season to wake them up and get their attention and help them understand faith in Christ, the cross and all it provided, to hopefully convert them into Isaacs eventually. But I believe we're about to enter a time of division where the Isaacs and Ishmaels are separated. And the Isaacs are going to experience abundance, miraculous, just significant
favor and covenant.
Favor and just, while the Isaacs, still children of God, they're going to go through a parched desert experience because God loves them and is going to deal with them. I believe we're about to enter into that personally. So Azusa Street's when Isaac was born, and we're at that point now where it's time to expel the slave son. And it's up to you. Which path are you going to choose? The way of Ishmael, the way of Isaac?
Interesting. Well, that's good. Man, that's a lot to chew on for this episode. A lot to chew on. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just pray for you guys. I pray for the Freeborn community regularly. And I just pray that God gives you the courage and the strength and the faith and the clarity that you need to move forward. And also just, I want you to know that the Freeborn is going to become more than a podcast. It's going to become a community of people that hear from God on behalf of one another, that walk through that inner healing out of religion into freedom. It's going to become something.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly. I have a vague picture of it, but I want you to draw your friends in. I want you to stick around because we're going somewhere, and it's glorious. It's covenant.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.